Our first scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, reading verses 1 through 15. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. This is the living word of the living God. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you, or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." So reads the word of God. Psalm number 23. Psalm number 23. You know that all of God's word is profitable for us in many ways, but surely Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved and well-known psalms in the whole Psalter, and we can understand that. It's a beautiful psalm which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as the great shepherd of our souls and all that he is and does and will be for his people. So let's hear from God once again. May he speak this word into your hearts as you hear tonight once again Psalm number 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of God stands forever. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was speaking to a lady here in Belfast, and eventually our conversation turned to the topic of goals, dreams, hopes. And I asked her, "What is your goal in life?" She had expressed some dissatisfaction with her present circumstances. And so I said, "Well, what is your goal in life?" It was obviously something that she had thought about deeply because her answer was immediate. "My goal in life is to move to Naples, a beach town in Florida." That was it. "My goal is to live on a beach in Florida." Do you imagine what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to get a tan and to collect shells. Friends, the last in our series of I wills from the Psalms, those Christian determinations that we've been considering, is taken tonight from Psalm 23 in the sixth verse. Now, there are many other I wills that we could have considered from the Psalms, many other Christian determinations that we could have included, but surely this is the only one with which we could end. And tonight it's not so much a determination as it is a desire. Not really a resolution, but as William Perkins wrote, it is a resolute persuasion. There in verse 6, right at the very end, after everything that's been said in this psalm, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The issue is one of residence. Where are you living? Where will you live? Where do you want to live? People are constantly thinking about this in an earthly, physical way, aren't they? You've heard the estate agents who speak of location, location, location. But what about your spiritual residence? What is the address of your soul? Well, here we see that David wants to live with God. That's his answer. Both in this life and in the eternity to come. He is a man who is looking forward to heaven. And the grace and glory of heaven has been implanted in his soul already in this life. P.B. Power, as he meditated on this verse, said, "A servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. While I am here, I will be a child at home with my God. The whole world shall be His house to me. And when I ascend into the upper chamber, I shall not change my company, nor even change the house. I shall only go to dwell in the upper story of the house of the Lord forever. May God grant us grace to dwell in the serene atmosphere of this most blessed psalm. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The child of God is someone who is fond of thinking of his eternal home. He likes thinking about the prospect of heaven. Paul said he would rather be at home with the Lord. Over and above, certainly, all the struggles and oppositions that he faced, but even over above all of the blessing and the significance of his earthly ministry, still over and above all that, he says, "I would rather be at home with the Lord." But not everyone can say that, and not everyone does say that. Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. There's a sense, I think, that people want to go to heaven. If you broach the subject with people, this idea of heaven, I think almost everyone that you would speak to would have some sense of, yeah, I would want to go to heaven after I die. But as one writer once said, they like the end, but they despise the means. They like the end, but they despise the means. And so out of Psalm 23 tonight, there's a call to people who love darkness rather than light, who want nothing to do with God's way to glory. Peter wrote of it in 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's the call. The lost sheep in this world. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one to his own way. And in this shepherd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The call is to return to the shepherd and overseer of the human heart, Jesus Christ. Because a day in his courts are better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell, to live in tents of wickedness. That's true of this life, and it's certainly true of eternity. Friends, hell is a place, but it is not a home. There is only weeping and gnashing of teeth, and no one in their right mind wants to go there. May God bring us to ourselves and to our right minds by His grace in Jesus Christ, that we would say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in and with wickedness. But David says he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And verse 6 has assurance because of verse 1. Because he can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Then, by conclusion, he can say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are those who are not interested, it seems, in the means that the Lord himself has appointed to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. But you know, I think also sometimes heaven is not attractive even for Christians, perhaps for reasons of ignorance. I'd recommend to you what many of you have probably already read and considered, that book on heaven and hell by your own pastor, where he very honestly writes, we may neglect heaven because it simply doesn't appeal to us. As a child, I had no desire to go to heaven, for it seemed to me a boring place. My vision was of a church service which went on and on for millions of years, while I had to sit in a spotlessly white suit on a marble seat, not allowed to move throughout all eternity. Such a view of everlasting life was of limited appeal to a small boy. Of course, when the subject came up at home, I feigned a decent enthusiasm, but it was largely synthetic. I didn't like the sound of heaven and was in no hurry to go there. Could that be true of us? That we acknowledge heaven, we profess heaven, but has it gripped our hearts? Is there a longing and a fainting to be at home with the Lord? The Bible tells us that the glory and the blessing and attraction of heaven must be found in God. And the more we know about God, the greater our knowledge of our Savior. That knowledge will breed anticipation and expectation. Our forefathers spoke of being weaned from this world, knowing that here we have no enduring city, but in heaven we will be with the Lord. Psalm 27 says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Psalm 16 says, "Show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Desire for heaven, you see, comes and grows with knowing God, with growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Do you see how Christ-centered, how God-centered heaven is? I think when people think of heaven, and even many Christians think of heaven, they think of all sorts of other things. Certainly many of the false religions in our day, when you hear their views on the life after this life, it's not God-centered. It's certainly not Christ-centered. But Jesus holds out the prospect here that where I am, there you may be also. The blessing is God Himself. And so John Piper writes of Psalm 23, "Our focus, our delight, our joy, our anticipation is not the pastures so much as the shepherd. Not the banquet so much as the host. And not the house so much as the homeowner." Kids, why do you want to go to each other's houses, as I know you do so often? Is it that you're very interested in the architecture of these different houses? Are you primarily interested in the landscaping of the house? Does the furniture have a great appeal to you? "That's why I want to go to that house." No, I know why you want to go. It's because your friend lives there. That's why you want to go to that house. And Christ is our great divine friend. "I no longer call you servants, but friends." We are those who do not simply expect to find God in heaven, but we are those who will find heaven in our God. And yet there's also the blessing, isn't there, the Bible presents to us, not only that we will be where He is, but the blessing of dwelling with the people of God. In Genesis 25:8, when Moses speaks of the death of Abraham, he uses a very special way of speaking of Abraham's death. After he lived all those years and was a ripe old age, we read in Genesis 25:8, Abraham was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people. There's a great blessing and anticipation that in eternity we will be with the people of God. Now, verse 6, I know in Psalm 23 is individual to stress the personal nature of this great hope, but it is certainly not meant to exclude the corporate nature of our hope of glory. This sheep in Psalm 23 is part of a flock. And when he says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," he can hear on his right a brother in Christ saying the same thing, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And on his left, he hears a sister in Christ saying, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell. I will dwell." Do you see? We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a blessing. What a hope. The Because in this life, we've all had to say goodbye. Sometimes for a while. Sometimes for this life. In a few weeks, my family will have to say goodbye to this congregation. And that will be sad. Some of you have said goodbye in God's providence to husbands and wives, sons and daughters, or grandparents who are now asleep in Jesus. What a comfort. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a well-known preacher in the United States who died just recently. His name was E.V. Hill. He was quite a flowery kind of Southern preacher. But I'll never forget what he said about heaven. He said, in heaven, there'll be no more bye-bye, only howdy-howdy. In heaven, there'll be no more bye-bye. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is a sure hope and comfort for the people of God. Our assurance is in the very name of the triune God. We have assurance from God the Father, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, 2 Corinthians 5:1, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have the assurance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit of God. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory, wrote Paul in Ephesians 1:13. Our hope and assurance is in the very name of our triune God. And our future hope is encouraged by God's past and present goodness to us and his mercy. The one who has led you to green pastures. The one who has restored your soul. Who has led you in paths of righteousness. Who has protected and comforted you in the dark times of your life. Who has blessed you even when enemies raged and roared around you. Who made your life overflow with undeserved blessing. This same shepherd loses not one of his sheep. He brings each one home. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Scottish preacher Alexander McLaren said, sheep are led by many ways, sometimes through sweet meadows, sometimes limping along sharp, flinted, dusty highways, sometimes high up over rough, rocky mountain passes, sometimes down through deep gorges with no sunshine in their gloom. But they are always being led to one place. And when the hot day is over, they are gathered into one fold, and the sinking sun sees them safe, where no wolf can come, nor any robber climb up any more, but all shall rest forever under the shepherd's eye. Paul could say in 2 Timothy 4:18, as he himself was on the verge of eternity, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. And may we, along with him and David, say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.